you see them a lot," said Susan, taking out some packages wrapped in second-hand waxed paper. "You live alone, mice and roaches eat everything, there's nowhere to store food, but outside the window it's cold and safe. More or less safe. It's an old trick. Now, look at this. Leathery bacon, a green loaf, and a bit of cheese you could shave. She hasn't been back home for some time, believe me."
"Oh dear, what now?"
"Where would she take the teeth?" said Susan, to the world in general, but mainly to herself. "What the hell does the tooth fairy do with—" There was a knock at the door. Susan opened it. Outside was a small, bald man in a long brown coat. He was holding a clipboard and blinked nervously at the sight of her.
He began.
"Can I help you?" said Susan.
I saw the light, see? I thought Violet was in," said the little man.
He twiddled the pencil that was attached to his clipboard by a piece of string.
"Only she's a bit behind with the teeth, and there's a bit of money owing, and Ernie's cart ain't come back, and it's got to go in my report. And I come round in case she was ill or something, it not being nice being alone and ill at Hogswatch."
"She's not here," said Susan. The man gave her a worried look and shook his head sadly.
"There's nearly $13 in pillow money, see? I'll have to report it."
"Who to?"
"Has to go higher up, see? I just hope it's not going to be like that business in Quirm, where the girl started robbing houses. We never heard the end of that one."
"Report to who?"
"And there's the ladder and the pliers,"
the man went on in a litany against a world that had no understanding of what it meant to have to fill in an AF-17 report in triplicate.
"How can I keep track of stock-taking if people go around taking stock?"
He shook his head.
"I dunno. They get the job, they think it's all nice sunny nights. They get a bit of sharp weather and suddenly it's, goodbye, Charlie, I'm off to be a waitress in the warm. And then there's Ernie, I know him. It's a nip to keep out the cold, and then another one to keep it company, and then a third in case the other two get lost. It's all going to have to go down in my report, you know. And who's going to get the blame? I'll tell you."
"It's going to be you, isn't it?" said Susan. She was almost hypnotised. The man even had a fringe of worried hair and a small worried moustache, and the voice suggested exactly that here was a man who at the end of the world would worry that it would be blamed on him.
"That's right," he said,
but in a slightly grudging voice. He was not about to allow a bit of understanding to lighten his day.
"And the girls all go on about the job, but I tell them they've got it easy. It's just basically ladder work. They don't have to spend their evenings knee-deep in paper and making shortfalls good out of their own money, I might add."
"You employ the tooth fairies," said Susan quickly. The ogod was still vertical, but his eyes had glazed over. The little man preened slightly.
"Sort of," he said. "Basically, I run bulk collection and dispatch."
"Where to?" He stared at her. Sharp, direct questions weren't his forte.
"I just sees to it. They gets on the cart," he mumbled. "When they're on the cart and Ernie signed the GV19 for 'em, that's it done and finished. Only, like I said, he ain't turned up this week, and—"
"A whole cart for a handful of teeth?"
"Well, there's the food for the guards, and—" "Here, who are you, anyway? What you doing here?"
Susan straightened up. "I don't have to put up with this," she said sweetly, to no one in particular. She leaned forward again.
"What cart are we talking about here, Charlie?"
The ogod jolted away. The man in the brown coat shot backwards and splayed against the corridor wall as Susan advanced.
"Comes Tuesdays," he panted. "Here, what?"
"And where does it go?"
"Dunno. Like I said, it's when he's—"
"Signed the GV19 for them. It's you done and finished," said Susan in her normal voice.
"Yes, you said.
What's Violet's full name? She never mentioned it." The man hesitated.
"I said Violet Butler."
"Thank you." "And Ernie's gone too," said Charlie, continuing more or less on autopilot. "I call that suspicious. I mean, he's got a wife and everything. Won't be the first man to get his head turned by $13 and a pretty ankle. And, of course, no one thinks about Muggins, who has to carry the can. I mean, supposing we was all to get it in our heads to run off with young women."
He gave Susan the stern look of one who, if it was not for the fact that the world needed him, would even now be tiring of painting naked young ladies on some tropical island somewhere.
What